I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and we have had a roller coaster of a day here on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let me tell you, before I get back to the emails, someone wants to know about Iraq. Someone else has a question about Trump, and is he going to announce when he's going to announce? I'm going to answer the question about the guy wanting his wife to wear more makeup and much more, but I should probably fill you in on what has been happening on the show, because it has been a day. So, at one point in time, I know you think I'm superhuman, right? And for the most part, that's true, because I am the Shogun. But every now and then, I do have to use the bathroom. Sometimes, even during the show, I have to use the bathroom. Get up at one point, head out, open up the door. It opens up into a hallway, and boom, there's a woman, probably 40s. There's a young girl, and there's like five bags right out in front of the door that goes out into the hallway here at the studio. And I shocked them. They shocked me because I went blasting through the door. There's never anyone in this hallway. So I just went blasting right out through the door. And they kind of give me this look. And I said, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. But you guys okay? Because they clearly didn't look like they were doing that great. All right. It didn't look like they were just passing by. Turns out they're freaking homeless. You ready to feel better about whatever your current situation is? You ready to feel better? Because I'll tell you what, I just got another wake-up call, and no matter what you're going through right now. So a parent, it's a woman and her daughter. They were staying in an extended stay hotel with one of her parents. I'm not going to go into the details of that. Don't want to give anything away. And this was not a nice hotel and not in a good part of town. And so we have a parent, the daughter, and then her daughter. We have the granddaughter. The parent found someone of the opposite sex they could shack up with, so they found a place to stay. They moved out of the hotel and took off on their own daughter and their own granddaughter, who didn't have the money to stay in the hotel. This happened this morning. Michael and I find them hiding in the hall because it's rainy and horrible here. We find them hiding in the hall with everything they own in about five bags. They're clearly have had better times. Obviously, we bring them in. We have, you know, these, they're probably going to have gastrointestinal problems now. You know, all the fraternity food we have here. Michael immediately starts making them bagel bites, pizza bagels and stuff. Jeez, Michael. Anyway, we fed them. It was heartbreaking. They never stopped eating the whole time they were here. And finally, just now, during the break, cops showed up because I started calling around. Where do you even send somebody who's homeless? Right? We can't kick them out on the street. No, I don't have any desire to kick them out on the street. So I started calling women's shelters. I called my church. Nobody was there. I'm calling friends of mine in the area. Hey, do you know anyone who's got some room? And finally, it was actually Houston's police department. They have like this homeless outreach team, whatever. They finally sent a deputy down here and he snatched them up and he's getting them a place to stay. But I'll tell you what, man. You ever spend a moment, you ever have a moment, because I assume we all do have these moments, you ever have a moment where you feel bad about yourself, or feel bad for yourself? I mean, don't we all have one of those moments at one point in time? Whether it's a small moment, oh, I stubbed my toe, oh, woe is me. Or, I mean, maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe you got fired. Maybe you found out your husband's leaving you, your wife's leaving you, whatever. But I'm not discounting the severity of those moments, but man, these people, including this young girl, I don't know how old she was. When you get old enough, you can't tell how old anyone is. I would guess 10 or 11 or something, I would guess. Michael, is that probably close to right? Probably close to right. They've had hard lives, man. They have had a hard life, and I don't know what God has in store for them for the rest of their lives. But I look, they might have some rough goes of it. So just take that little lesson. I'm going to take that little lesson. I'm going through it right now and count your freaking blessings. Right? I'm all kinds of discombobulated. That was an ordeal. Gosh, I sound like Joe.
And I had a terrible headache. Excuse me, a terrible headache. And sorry.
Leader of the free world. We're doing great. All right, it's back to some Ask Dr. Jesse stuff. That's enough of that heavy stuff. Golly. This is a real email. On my life, this is a real email. I read it before last hour, but it's been a few, so let me read it again. Dr. Jesse Friday. Papa Bear, he calls me. My wife is a dime, but only, and he capitalized it. I didn't capitalize it, okay? This is not my email. I want to be clear. I didn't write this email. My wife is a dime, but only when she wears a little makeup. Without it, she's a nickel and a few pennies. Ouch. Lately, when we go out, she doesn't wear any makeup at all. It drives me crazy. It's embarrassing, he says. I know if I bring it up, it will not end well. What should I do? Find a new one? Okay, let's hold on. I don't think we need to be trading her in for a newer model just because she doesn't wear makeup. I'm just going to address the last part of this. You need to have fights with your wife. You need to have fights with your husband. I'm not exactly the one who should be giving out marriage advice to anybody, but I will simply say this. You ever run into a married couple or a couple who's been together for any length of time? I mean, a young couple that just started dating 2 weeks ago doesn't count. I'm talking about somebody who's been together, married or dating for any length of time, and they ever say to you, "We never fight." Yeah, there's something seriously wrong there. You're two different people. You never have a serious disagreement about something. If I say anything, there'll be trouble. Buddy, if it means that much to you that your old lady throw on some lipstick and whatever else women apply to their face, tell her. Oh, she's going to get mad. Yeah, if you give her the whole she's only a nickel with a few pennies line, she's definitely going to get mad. And she's probably going to get mad and offended either way. But I would recommend you have yourself a good old fight. All right? Just have a good fight. It's healthy. It'll work out best for both of you. And best of luck, my friend, because boy, sounds like that's tough. Dear Denzel Washington-ish is what he calls me. What town in Iraq did you first experience combat? Do you feel that your training up to that point in time prepared you and your unit? What did you learn and do differently from that experience? Thank you. And he says his name. He says, I can use his name, Brian from New York City. Well, Brian, first of all, when I tell people I was in Iraq, understand there were really different phases to Iraq. When my unit was there, I was with 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, actually, Weapons Platoon, Semper Fi. It was the beginning. Remember, we went down and we had to stage in Kuwait before President Bush declared war. That is a different phase of the war than the one that came after, because after that, when he finally declared war, we had to get in our Amtraks. They're just, you would think it looks like a tank without a gun. It's troop carriers, armored troop carriers. When he declared war, we got in our Amtraks and we started taking off north up towards the Iraqi border. And then we kind of had to fight our way through the entire country all the way up to Baghdad. Now that, once we were done in Baghdad, and this is, I mean, a few weeks into the whole thing, maybe a month, I don't remember. Understand, let me pause on that for a second. When I say I don't remember, you, if you watched the war at home or followed the war at home, you were watching on the news or something like that, I need to explain that you know the war as far as dates and locations and things like that better than we did. There was no internet there. We got one phone call like a month into it. I've told you that before. We oftentimes didn't know where we were, or if we did find out where we were, it was not important, right? I don't care about the name of whatever dump town we're cruising through right now. I care about not getting shot, right? So you know more about names and dates and locations, but there were several parts to the war, or at least two different parts, and I'll explain what I mean in just a second.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it has been a roller coaster ride of a day today, boy. I got to give a piece of news before I get back to the questions here. Oh, wait, I have breaking news.
It's journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
UPenn nominates transgender swimmer Leah Thomas as the 2022 Woman of the Year. The dude who helicoptered his way across the pool and shattered all the records for the women's swimming team. I have to be honest about this, and what I have to say is not going to be probably that popular, but I do believe this all the way. I don't care. And this is the reason I don't care. Don't get me wrong. I care very much about the culture war we're in and the endless brand new repulsive perversions this society is immersing itself in and institutionalizing and destroying. I very, very, very much care about that. As far as the Blaze first, or not the Blaze, as far as the Leah, I was reading it off the Blaze. As far as Leah Thomas, transgender, wins Woman of the Year, I don't care, and here's why I don't care. During that swim season, all those young ladies on the UPenn swim team, how hard do you have to work in your life as a woman in order to make it to the UPenn swim team? It's a big deal, right? How many hours in the pool, you as a woman, how many have you spent in the water to be good enough to swim for the Penn swim team? How many? I mean, a lot. I mean, hours and hours and hours. Actually, you know what? Take that back. Not just you. Your parents. How many hours did your parents invest in you? How many times did they drive you to practice, pick you up from practice? How many times did your parents travel in-state, out-of-state, hours on the road, spending how much money to watch you go to swim meet after swim meet after swim meet after swim meet? The people in your life, how much did they sacrifice for you, cheer you on, and then the sacrifices you yourself made? How many? So many, right? So many to swim at that high of a level. So many. And after all that, after all the hours you took in the pool and all the hours your parents spent driving and people spent money on you and all the, after all that, you went to UPenn and you watched a dude who still has a penis, by the way, that's in the articles. You watched a dude with a penis walk into your locker room, flash his penis around your locker room, then put on a woman's swimsuit like he's a woman and go shatter every record in the pool and blow you out of the water. And after all that, do you know how many of the girls on that team protested a single meet? Do you know how many girls on that team boycotted? How many girls on that team put their name on an article criticizing this? Do you know how many? Hold on. I have a list right here. I'm going to list for you all the names of the girls who did that. You ready for this? Here we go. Yep, that was all of them. I'm looking at an empty piece of paper. There were none. None. Now, am I disgusted by the destruction of women's sports and the crowding out of women by this transgender idiocy that is spread through society? Of course I am. But if you're not bold and brave enough to fight for the sport you have worked so hard for, don't ask me to give a crap. I actually think it's hilarious. I do. I am so sick of the good people in this country being afraid. And let me clarify, there is a good reason to be afraid. It's not as if I never have any fear. Okay, there's a good reason to be afraid. The vicious, vile, communist menace in this country is something that you should be very aware of. And you should know you will feel pain if you take them on. There's no question about it. Maybe you're sitting there saying right now, Jesse, they were college girls. They were scared. They would have been kicked out of school. Their lives would have been threatened. And I'm here to tell you almost undoubtedly they would have been kicked out of school. Not almost undoubtedly. I 1,000% guarantee you their lives and physical well-being would have been threatened. I get threatened all the time. People try to tell me they're coming to my house to kill me and things like that. That's standard communism. They're anti-human, vile, murderous monsters. That's how it goes. I'm not expecting a bunch of female college swimmers to be Navy SEALs either and shrug it off. But I am saying this. If you're a human being, man, woman, child, whatever your status is, and you're concerned, you're horrified by the cultural Marxism turning this country into Sodom and Gomorrah, and you don't feel an obligation to stand up and fight for it and get hit in the nose, then you're not worthy of this place. Then we're not worthy of saving this place. We have an obligation, a duty to my sons, to your sons, to their sons after them. We have been handed the biggest lottery ticket in the world, the land of the free. We've been handed America. I don't have the obligation right now. I don't have the option to go home tonight and look at my sons and say, James, Luke, boys, I love you, but gosh, I couldn't stand up to the communist rage mob. I was too scared of what they might do. So anyway, your world's going to suck. Good luck, kids. That's wrong. I'm done with it. When people send me emails, I'm standing up for this. Jesse, I'm standing up for that. Man, that's what inspires me. You understand that it doesn't take all of us to stand up at once, right? You understand that leadership is oftentimes one person having the guts to step up and say, no more. One woman on that swim team, if she had stood up and got out of the pool and stood by the pool and said, no more, I'm not swimming against a man. It's not right. It's unjust. She would have looked to her left and she would have looked to her right, and the rest of the team would have been standing there with her. But not one of them cared enough about their sport, the hours, the parents, the time, the anything. Not one cared enough to overcome the fear of the rage mob, so they all stood back. So when I see Leah Thomas winning Swimmer of the Year, Female of the Year, I think it was, you know what I say? I don't care. Ain't my problem. If you don't care, I don't care. All right, on to my Trump stuff. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And look, remember, you can email me your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. And I know that won't be popular, because there's a way of thinking out there that, well, other people should have stepped up. The parents should have stepped up. I agree with that. The parents should too. But what I don't like, what drove me crazy, was during that entire farce. I don't expect you to follow women swimming that closely, but just because of what I do, I'd see the articles pop up during that entire farce of this dude just smoking women out of the pool, just dominating. You'd go to article after article after article, and you didn't see one member of the team stand up. It's not good enough. All right, we still have a bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We have precious little time to get there. Generalissimo Hamburgeressa de Jesse. That's hard. I habla, but look, I agree.
Buenas tardes.
Lots of chatter beginning about Trump announcing he's running for president in September. Do you think it's true? Or do you think it's the media stirring it for their Dem overlords, since Dems have nothing else to run on or against? I bet it's true, since no one steps on their own and everyone else is, I can't say that word, right at the chance of a big victory like Donnie. He truly is a junkyard dog. Love the show. Buenas tardes, he says. He says I can say his name. His name is Jordan. I don't think Trump's presence in the presidential race does anything to help or hurt Democrats in the midterms. I don't. I've never really believed that. Now, November 2024, that's up to you to make that argument. I don't know who's going to be the nominee. I've told you before, I want everyone to get in. There's rumors that Kristi Noem is already running ads looking like a presidential candidate. I read this morning Ron DeSantis has a super PAC with something north of $100 million already. I mean, that looks like a guy who's getting in. Trump almost undoubtedly is getting in. I want everyone to get in and have a big fight. Get in, beat each other up, call each other names, prove you can fundraise, prove you can put together a winning campaign, and go win the nomination. And then we'll rally behind him and try to beat the Dem in 2024. I don't worship politicians, none of them. Not DeSantis, not Trump, not Noam, not nobody. I don't worship them. Go and earn my vote again. We are in dire straits in this country. You go out and you fight all the other lions, and you show me you're the toughest lion, and then we'll roll. Let's do it. When is he going to announce? Look, you can have problems with Trump. You can love him. You can hate him. I don't really care. But I think we should all be fair and acknowledge Donald Trump's timing when it comes to the media is pretty stinking good. This is a guy, I mean, I watched this. Remember, I used to hate Trump back in the initial primary. I was a Cruz guy. I came around, voted for Trump in the general, of course, and then was very impressed by his presidency overall. You know, I'm mad about the COVID stuff, but set that stuff aside. I watched the hardcore Never Trump faction on the right. I watched them make the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again, and they still make this mistake over again of acting like Trump would do things that would earn him publicity, and they always acted like he would do it by accident. Like, I remember when he was running against Hillary, it totally dumbfounded so many on our side. Hillary would say or do something stupid because, I mean, it's Hillary. I mean, it's Hillary Clinton. So she would say or do something stupid on our side. And so she would be in the middle of a bad news cycle, a bad one. And conventional wisdom would be, well, shut up. Sit back and shut your mouth and let Hillary Clinton just get blasted by the media. Trump never did that. Trump would come out and he would take the media cycle back by saying something, I don't want to say outrageous because he never really offended me, but by saying something they would assume is outrageous. And the Never Trump faction on our side, oh, look at this dummy. He's such an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I said, and remember, I was going to vote for him in the general, but this is not a time where I'm a big Trump fan. Right? And I said, okay, look, you can say a lot of things bad about Trump, good about Trump, I don't care, but let's not act like the guy doesn't understand publicity here. The dude has a plane with his name on the side of it. The dude has buildings across the planet with his name on the side of it. Donald Trump understands publicity. He understands what he's trying to do. He dang sure understands branding. What he was doing was making sure no matter what, for better or for worse, the cameras were always on him. That election was all about Donald Trump. No part of that election was about Hillary Clinton. It was all about Donald Trump. Dear Jesse, have you met anyone who voted for you while you were running for Congress that are fans of the show now? Says I can say her name. Her name's Melanie. Met them? No, because that's just because I don't live in the same area, though, because I ran for Congress in Tucson, Arizona, and now I live in the Houston area. There are a ton of them that are there, though, and they're so excited about this whole thing. I get the feeling they feel like in the end it was a win of some kind, which is kind of cool because they were really good people. Dear Captain Community College, I have two quick questions for you. With almost 3 whole years of community college credits, did you have a specific subject you wanted to get a degree in? From listening to the show, I would assume it was either culinary arts or women's studies. No, I never wanted a degree. I never wanted to be in school. I thought the entire thing was really, really stupid, and I really didn't want to be there. 2, he says, with all this breakfast taco talk, thanks to Dr. Jill, and with you living in Texas, what are your thoughts on kolaches? Seems like all the rage when I lived in the DFW area. Buenas bodegas. He says I can say his name. His name is Dorian, and he requested a Howard Dean. Ah! All right, kolaches, for you who don't live here in Texas, are simply, just picture, most of the time it's a sausage, or sometimes it's sausage and cheese, or sausage jalapeno and cheese. And it's just they wrap dough around the whole thing and you eat it like pigs in a blanket. You've heard of pigs in a blanket? That's essentially what a kolache is. They're good. They're fine. It's one of those things. You know what kolaches are for me? They're going to the beach. I understand why someone would do it. I don't understand why so many people do it. If you're in Texas, you're going to know what I'm talking about here. These kolache places are everywhere. I'm telling you, if I looked up right now, in fact, I'm going to do it during the break. If I looked up right now, kolaches, just around our area here, I bet you there's one within a half mile. In fact, I guarantee you there's one within a half mile and probably 10 in my area within 15 minutes in any direction, at least 10. Okay, so I get liking them. I'll eat them. I've ordered them. I've had them before. I don't get why they're so popular. There's one on every corner. That's exactly like going to the beach. Why is it that popular? I mean, I love the water, but why are we out here roasting on the beach? Are you finding the sand in every nick and cranny particularly enjoyable? I get maybe going out there for a half hour or an hour, catch a little sun, go swim in the ocean. But people will go to the beach like all day. Why? What are you doing there all day long? Oh, I can read a book. Well, yeah, I can read a book for an hour in the summer or in the sun, and then I can go back and actually sit someplace comfortable where I don't have sand in all the pages. I don't understand this love for the beach. Man, I'm going to catch some serious heat over that. Let's talk about something more fun. Let's talk about a chemical pepper gel you can spray in somebody's face that'll make them fall to the ground and cry like a little baby. That's the new Hero Arrow. You see, I've told you about the Hero Gun. You know about the Hero Gun. The new Hero Arrow, it's only about the size of a remote control. I love this freaking thing. It's about the same size and shape as a remote control. You slide back this safety shield on it. It's very easy, and it has a double-barreled blast of this pepper gel that is brutal. It will save your life. It's non-lethal. It's like much more powerful than pepper spray, but non-lethal. It'll save your life. Ladies, perfect for your purse. Fellas, your pocket, take mine everywhere. Does not require a concealed carry permit. Go to hero2020.com and get the Hero Arrow. Hero2020.com. Use the code Jesse because that gets you a special discount, okay? Hero2020.com. Get your Hero Arrow. State restrictions may apply.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Hoping you get some time this weekend, gather the family up, and head on out to a Bogota.
As distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx.
This family is the best. None of them can speak. All right. Before I get to the emails I didn't get to, and dang, there's a little stack of them here. Look, there were some distractions on the show. Okay, did you have homeless people show up at your job today? That we did. We're you know what we're doing here?
We're changing people's lives.
Before we get to that, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to switch your cell phone service. And hold on. Hear me out. I understand that sounds like a pain. I'm going to explain something to you. When I switched my whole family to Pure Talk, this is what it entailed. You have to pick up your cell phone, dial #250, and then you say Jesse Kelly. You'll find yourself talking to an American who speaks English. You do not have to give up your phone. You do not have to change your cell phone number. You can get a brand new phone and a brand new number if you'd like, either one. They will then mail you all the SIM card stuff you need. You will be on the phone for less than 10 minutes. What do you get out of this? Oh, I don't know. The average family saves over $900 a year, and you'll stop funding these cell phone companies that hate your freaking guts. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Good evening, Sir Cheeseburger Savant. I've read that about 100,000 Americans overdosed and died during a recent 12-month period, mostly because of fentanyl and similar synthetic drugs, and they're trafficked principally into the land by land in the United States over the southern border. It seems like a bad business plan for drug traffickers to kill off their customers, especially in such large numbers. Are the traffickers just greedy, short-sighted killers, or do you believe something else is in play here? Listen, thank you. Says I can use his name. His name is Russ. All right, a couple of things about the fentanyl. Remember this. Fentanyl comes from China. China has a very Eastern way of viewing warfare, and frankly, in my opinion, I view it as a superior way of viewing warfare. They have a longer view of it. They don't need victory. Right now, I want to win. They have a longer view of it. Remember, they have published papers you can go read. They plan to defeat us and become number one in the world by 2050. It's 2022, and they're looking at goals for 2050. So they have a long-term view of war, and they have a very multifaceted view of war. I believe this. Now, this is just my belief. I don't have intel on this. I believe China is sending fentanyl here intentionally to weaken their number one geopolitical foe. There's no doubt it's destroying us. It's helping destroy us. It's chipping away at us. As far as the drug traffickers go, here's the deal. Now, this I do know. This I do know for a fact. There have been several cases where American drug dealers have been killed by the cartels for selling fentanyl because it is killing their customer base. They don't want their customer base to die. That said, it's still getting in and getting sold because of this. And this is something that's wild. But again, now this I do have a source on, and I just thought this was so crazy, but it goes to show the different mentalities out there that we don't understand until we talk. If I tell you, hey, you can take this pill right here, and this pill has fentanyl in it, and there's a chance, and not exactly a slim chance, if you take this pill, your body will shut down and you'll die. You're probably laughing or rolling your eyes right now because there's no way you would take that pill, right? Immediately you're thinking, oh, okay, well, never mind then. These drug addicts and drug users and people who are really, really stuck in a deep cycle of addiction, if you walk up to them and you tell them, I have a pill here and it's so powerful, it very well might kill you, they can't take it fast enough. that fentanyl is so powerful it kills people is a selling point to a drug addict. You hear that, you're terrified. You're horrified. A drug addict hears that, and he wants it. Therefore, whether or not the cartels want people dying doesn't matter. The truth is, there's a market for this now. There is officially a market for this now, and now that there is a market for it, now that you have, pick your number, a certain subset of people in this country already addicted to it, it's going to be very difficult to put that genie back in the lamp. Dr. Jesse, I consider myself a super fan going back to the early days of your media career. It all started with the green seersucker suit. With that said, you mentioned the Andrew Jackson story is your number two favorite history story. I'm ashamed that I can't recall your number one. Is it Genghis Khan? Is it the development of the chili cheese Frito? What is it? Okay, I'll tell you real quick. It's a little morbid. And it, well, actually, it's very morbid, but you know the Aztecs, right? The Aztecs, who were eventually taken over by the Spanish and Cortez, they were barbaric. It doesn't even describe how horrific the Aztecs were, especially when it came to things like human sacrifice and child sacrifice and things like that. And understand that this human sacrifice, very similar to Democrats today, it was a critical part of their religion. Just killing people was everything. If you wanted the crops to grow, you killed people. If you wanted to win this battle, you killed people. It was ingrained in their culture. Before they got big time and took over the area, the Aztecs, they were mercenaries for hire. They were really, really great at fighting. They were great fighters. So the other major, I'm going to call them tribes, the other major tribes in the area would hire the Aztecs. Hey, the Aztecs are tough. Hey, come beat these guys up for us. And they would. The Aztecs started to grow a little bit. And eventually, one of the other major powerful tribes wanted to link up with the Aztecs. And so the king of that tribe gave his daughter over to be married into the Aztecs. In his mind, he thought she would be married. The Aztecs took her in, and it was an honor in their minds. They not only killed her, sacrificed her to the gods, they then took all of her skin off. The king, who gave his daughter to the Aztecs, doesn't realize this. He has a big dinner with them. Hey, let's have a big dinner with all my new friends, the Aztecs, and hopefully my daughter shows up. The Aztecs and the king all sit down for dinner, and one of the priests, one of these psycho priests of the Aztecs, comes out into the dinner wearing the daughter's skin. The king, understandably, loses his freaking mind at what happened to his daughter. The Aztecs were totally, totally baffled by why he was angry. In their minds, it was a gigantic honor. That is a wild story. That's my favorite history story of all time. It's just crazy. All right. If you want, you can email me your love, your hate, your death threats, everything you want to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Keep your chin up this weekend. Remember, take care of yourself. Practice with your weapon. Get some backup food. Get some backup water. Make sure you're ready to protect yourself and your family. We're up against animals, all right? That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.